Good evening, everyone. It's so good to be here this Wednesday night for our Bible study. Welcome those who are watching online, welcome as well. My name is Eli Gutierrez. I don't know if I need introduction. Most of you know me already. I'm the Hispanic minister here at First Baptist Church of Garland. I'm usually preaching and teaching in Spanish in the Sunday school class, the Hispanic Sunday school class, and the Hispanic service. And it is a huge blessing and an honor for me to be here tonight. It's always a challenge for me to speak English and to teach in English, but it's a challenge that I accept with fear and tremble and with great excitement, because I love this church, I love you, I love the Word of God. The Word of God is the air I breathe, it is the bread I eat every morning, so it's always a pleasure for me to speak about the Word of God. And let me tell you what's going to happen for the next three Wednesdays. Don't worry, I'm not preaching the next three Wednesdays, it's just this. But for the next three Wednesdays, Pastor Jim, Pastor Dane, and myself, we are teaching these three Sundays for our Pastor Greg. And we are doing some kind of mini-series to connect these next three Wednesdays. We are going to be talking about a very important character in the Bible, David. And so today's Bible study, I titled it, After God's Own Heart. So let me just start with a word of prayer, and then we go straight into our study. Dear God, we thank you so much for this night. I thank you for every single person in this room. I thank you for those who are online. I thank you for this church, for our pastor, for the ministers, and for the ability, Lord, in this night to go to your word and learn from it. Speak to us, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to our lives in this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about David. David is one of the most important characters in the Bible. Actually, I don't know if this is accurate, but I read that there are more verses about David than any other character in the Bible. Of course, except God and Jesus, who are the main characters. There are more verses, more space about David than any other Bible character. It's a very big deal. David is a big deal in the Bible. Actually, Jesus was called Son of David. Then Jesus corrected them and said, no, I'm the Lord of David. David is my son. I was before David. But people would call the Messiah the Son of David. David is a big deal. It's because the time when David was the king and his son Solomon, it was the time of more splendor and greatness for the people of Israel. After that, they were divided and conquered by many, many nations, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greek, the Roman. So the people of Israel, they were always looking back to the time of David as a golden age, when we were victorious, and when the kingdom was great, and when we had an army, and when the people was looking for the face of God, and he blessed his people. So they were looking back to the kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus brought. When he came, Jesus said, I bring good news, the gospel. And the content of those good news was, the kingdom has come near. Of course, the people were excited. They were expecting someone like David to reign over us again. And Jesus Christ, he did bring the kingdom, but it was a different kind of kingdom. Not a kingdom of armies, nation, politics, economics. No, it wasn't about that. It was a kingdom that brought salvation, something greater, bigger, deeper than anything else. And that's all that to say that David is a very important character in the Bible, extremely important. And I'm sure you have listened to many sermons and Bible lessons about David, you know, stories about David, and I don't pretend to bring something very new today. I don't pretend to invent the wheel all over again, but I do want to I want us to look at the story of David from a different perspective. So let's go to, you have your outlines? I sent an outline. I don't know if you have them. If not, I'm just going, it's in the screen. That's where it is. I'm sorry. So letter A, David is not the main character. This is my main point, my main argument for tonight. David is not the main character in the story of David. I think there's a common mistake that we, when I say we in first person, we preachers commit, a mistake that we make many times when we preach the Bible. We focus so much on the human person, the Bible character. And many times when we are teaching about David and Moses and Abraham and any other Bible character, many times we exalt that man or that woman. And we speak about the faith of Abraham and the wisdom of Moses and the courage of Joshua and the passion of Paul. And then the teaching, the application is let us be like David. Let us be like Abraham and Moses and Paul and all these Bible characters. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that's wrong at all. I've done it many times, and I will continue to do it. But the problem is this. The problem is when that is all we preach, it becomes something different than the gospel. It becomes a human-centered gospel that tells you, try harder. You can do it. The power is in you. Be like David. Be like Moses. You can do it. If that's all we preach, we are not preaching the gospel. If that's all we see in Scripture, good people, good examples. And don't get me wrong, David, Abraham, Moses, those are wonderful people of God who did wonderful things by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God. And there are many things we can learn from them. Many things we can say, let us be like David and Moses and Abraham, yes. However, if that's the only thing we preach, we are not preaching the gospel. That's why for the next few minutes, I want to focus on the story of David from a different perspective. Because I think, and this is number two, the Bible is not a book about good human beings. The Bible is not a collection of good examples. Just that. If that's what the Bible is about, then the Bible is no better than any other self-help book or any other illustration that tells us, you know, the virtues of some people to imitate. The Bible is much more than that. Includes some good examples, of course, but it's much more than that. God is the goal of every biblical narrative. The Bible was written, and this is what the Bible says about itself in John chapter 21. The author of the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, says, these things were written for you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing in him, you may have eternal life. So the Bible was written not for us to focus on human beings and try harder to be like them. The Bible was written for us to believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life in his name. So God is the goal of every biblical narrative. So for the next few points, this is what I'm going to do tonight. Pastor Jim and Pastor Dane, they are going to focus on specific narratives of the life of David. I'm offering some kind of introduction. And I want to focus on a few scenes in the beginning of David's life to show how this is not about David. This is about God. Let's go to letter B. Saul was the people's choice. As we speak about David, we got to go to the beginning of and set the context for the story of David. And we got to start with Saul. The people of Israel asked for a king like the other nations. This is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 8, 4 to 7. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." The people of Israel came to Samuel and told him, "You're old." I'm pretty sure he didn't appreciate that. "You're old, and your sons are no good. Give us a king like the other nations." And you know what? I don't think having a king was altogether something wrong. The Lord had promised, since Abraham, you're going to have descendants and children, and you're going to have a nation. A nation is going to be born from you, and kings are going to rule over this nation. God had promised kings. The problem was not the king in itself, but the problem was that the people of Israel were looking for substitute God with another king. They wanted a king like the other nations, a savior. They already had a king and a savior, but they wanted a human being like the other nations. And so Saul was chosen. Let's go to number two. This is Saul's characteristics were appealing to the human eye. Let's go to 1 Samuel 10, verses 23 to 24. "Then they ran and took him from there. And when they stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to the people, 'Do you see him who the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people.' And all the people shouted, 'Long live the king!'" Saul was chosen as the first king of Israel. And you know why was he chosen? He was chosen because he was the most handsome guy in the nation. Sometimes nations do that. They choose a guy just because he's better looking than the others. He was taller than anyone else. And don't get me wrong, God chose Saul. And I think Saul had his opportunity to be faithful, to be the king of Israel, to be the king God was looking for. But the Lord knew Saul wasn't the king he was looking for. Because Saul was chosen, God allowed that to happen, and Saul was chosen more because of his external characteristics. He's appealing, he's tall. We want a king. We want something big, strong, someone who can save us. And that's why Paul was chosen. His characteristics were appealing to the human eye. Number three, God had a plan in choosing Saul as the first king. Let's read from 1 Samuel 12, 19 to 20. "And all the people say to Samuel, 'Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king.' And Samuel said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart.'" Saul had his chance. And the people of Israel, they were forgiven by God. They did a bad thing when they asked for a king, but the Lord gave them an opportunity. However, both Saul and the nation, they didn't seize the opportunity from God. They disobeyed God, and they were unfaithful. And I think God had a plan for this. He allowed this to happen because he wanted to teach us something. He wanted for us to understand, and his people to understand, that there's much more to what the human eye sees. There's something beyond. There's something deeper in God's plans. So let's go to letter C. David was God's choice. Saul was the people's choice. God chose him, yes, but God chose him according to the people's desires, according to what the people wanted. Someone tall, someone strong, someone who can save us. He wanted to teach us something, and I think it's this. David was God's choice. Let's go to number one. Being after God's own heart speaks more about God than about David. This is my argument tonight. Many times when we think that David was a man after God's own heart, again, we began to exalt David. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he was faithful, because he was honest, because he was just and courageous and brave. Oh, what a great man is David. And don't get me wrong, I think it's true. He was a great guy, at least for the first part of his life, all up to the point when he made this terrible mistake, his greatest sin with Bathsheba. After that, his life was completely different. After that, his life was down the hill. And God forgave him, but his life was completely different than the first part of his life. All the way from when he was anointed as king until that point, he's a great guy. He's doing awesome things. But is that the reason why he was called a man after God's own heart? I think maybe so. But before that, first of all, before we exalt the human, before we look at David, let us focus on what the Bible wants us to focus. Being after God's own heart speaks more about God than about David. Or let me say it this way. Being after God's own heart speaks first about God and then about David. Yeah, he was a great man, faithful, honest, just, forgiving, merciful, gracious, brave, and many other things. But before, let us look at Scripture the way it was intended, the way God intended us to look at it. So let's go to number two. God rejected Saul and chose someone else as king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul? Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons.'" The Lord told Samuel, go to Bethlehem, and you're going to anoint someone that I'm going to tell you, because I have rejected Saul, and I'm going to choose someone after my own heart. And Samuel does that. He obeys the Lord. Let's go to number three. God looks on the heart, but man looks on the outward appearance. Let's read from 1 Samuel 16:6 to 7. "When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" Samuel goes to the house of Jesse and tells him, "Bring me your sons. I'm going to anoint one of them." And then comes the oldest son of Jesse, big guy, tall guy. And Samuel immediately thought, "This is the man. This is the one." Again, let's hear what the Word of God is telling us. There's a message here. We human beings, we tend to look at men. We tend to look at how big, how strong are these guys. That's going to be the king. But the Lord said, no, do not look on his appearance or his height, because I have rejected him. I don't look on what the man looks. I look on the heart, says the Lord. So David was after God's own heart, first of all, because he was chosen according to God's will. It's about God. This is what I'm trying to say here. It is about God. Saul was chosen according to the people's desires, but David was chosen not according to what they wanted. The people wanted a strong guy. I think we always imagine, picture David as a brave guy, very handsome. But at least at the beginning, that's not how the Bible describes David. David was unnoticeable, unlikely to be a hero. Not even his father thought about him. "Hey, Jesse, bring all your sons because we are going to anoint one of them." "Oh yeah, sons, come here." And one by one, we're rejected by God. "Do you have another son, Jesse?" And he's like, "Another son? Let me think about this. Oh,
I think there's one. He didn't even think about his own son, not even his father. David was unlikely to be a king. This is the point of the story. That's why I think we need to refocus our attention. Instead of the greatness of David, the grace of God. Because this is what God does. This is what he does. He chose unlikely people like me, like you. And he chooses people that nobody would ever choose. That's what the Lord does. And you know why God does that? Because he wanted to be certain that it is not about men. It is not about me. It is not about any human being. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about His Holy Spirit. So let's go to letter D. David and Saul. David entered the royal court and played for Saul. Let's read from 1 Samuel 16, 21 to 23. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Soon after David was anointed, he became part of the royal court of Saul, playing the guitar for Saul to be calm because there was an evil spirit. He became to be emotionally, mentally, spiritually unstable. And David played for him, and the Bible says that Saul loved David. He loved him, and David found favor in the eyes of Saul. And think about that, because we're going to read something that seems odd. This is what happens in the next chapter. The question is this: why did Saul not recognize David? 1 Samuel 17, 55, this is right after David killed Goliath. And the Bible says, "As soon as Saul saw David go against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As your soul lives, O king, I do not know.'" Wait a minute. Why is David not recognized by Saul? Why is Saul asking, "Who is this?" This is the guy who's been playing the guitar for you. Why you don't recognize him? What's going on in here? You know, this passage has troubled Bible scholars for many years, and they have offered a number of explanations. The first one, especially non-evangelical scholars, would say, okay, chapter 16 and chapter 17 are two different traditions, come from two different sources that someone put together, and that's it. That's the reason why they don't match. I reject that explanation completely. Because for many reasons, including that's not the evidence of Scripture. The Scripture doesn't look like a document that lots of tradition came together without any thought, just like copy-paste from different sources. Clearly, it may come from different sources, but clearly there is purpose. The writer of these stories has purpose and creativity and art when crafting the narrative. So there's a reason why, I think there's a reason why Saul did not recognize David. And these are three other explanations. I think the three of them are plausible. Some people say just these stories are not necessarily arranged in chronological order. And that happens in the Bible many times. When you see the Gospels, sometimes the order doesn't match. And that's because the authors of the gospel have a purpose beyond chronological order. They want to proclaim the identity of Jesus Christ. So sometimes they are not so strict in the chronological order of how things happened. That might be the case. But I think it's more about these two other explanations. Some people think, with all the busyness of the life in the court, Saul just forgot David. He had many people serving him. You know, he has people serving the table, people cleaning the palace, people doing this and that. And David was just one more. And he loved him, yes, but he forgot about him easily. Or some people would argue that Saul's mental state was affected by his disobedience, by this harmful spirit from the Lord, and he began to lose his memory. Whatever explanation you like, my dear brothers and sisters, I think the point is this. David, at this point, was a person to be forgotten. He's not the focus. He's not the main character in this story. He's not the one to be looking at. There's something else in this story. There's someone else in this story. So let's go to my final point, letter E, David's identity. And this is probably one of the most famous passages in the whole Bible, David versus Goliath. Who hasn't heard that story? Who hasn't loved that this story and being moved by this story, David killing the giant? And we always think about ourselves as David. I am David. I'm facing my giants. And don't get me wrong, I think that's a good application of this story. Yes, we face giants in this life. We face sickness and we face troubles, financial issues, family issues. We face some big giants outside ourselves, inside ourselves. And we can have the trust of David in overcoming those giants and facing those giants because the Lord is with us. And we can, as David, remember those times when the Lord helped us to overcome the lions and the beasts. And we can remember that in order to be filled with trust to face the giants of today. And we can also use our own armor, our own resources, and not the armor of Saul, the king, that David couldn't even walk. And we can face our giants with our own resources, with whatever the Lord has given us. And many other teachings that we hear when we teach and we preach the story of David versus Goliath. And I think those are completely true and valid if we start with the gospel. Because all that, everything that David did against Goliath, it wasn't on his own. It wasn't because he tried harder. It wasn't because he just looked at the mirror in the morning and said, David, you're a great man. You're going to make it. You have the power. No, there's something else. I think the starting point should be God. His grace, His power. He is the main character. Let me go through my 3 points in this letter E. Number one, David knows who God is. 1 Samuel 17:26 says, and David said to the man who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David was surprised. What? What are they giving to the person who defeats Goliath? Why do they need some kind of reward? This is an uncircumcised Philistine. And we are the people of God. He knew who God is. If you ask me, what's the main characteristic of David? What's his main virtue in defeating Goliath? I wouldn't say faith or courage. And I think there is some faith, there is lots of faith and courage, but I would say this. His greatest virtue in doing this was as simple as, I would say this word, identity. He knew who he was, he knew who God is, he knew who was the enemy, and that's what gave him the strength to face Goliath. Let's go to number two. David knows who he is. 1 Samuel 17:28 says, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? What is not but a word? Again, you know, in these 2 chapters, we find time and time and time again, David being despised. Nobody looked at David. They were looking at David. Who is this boy? This is, what are you doing here, David? This is the battleground. This is the space for men. What are you doing here? You're just a boy. He was insignificant. And time again, this narrative points not to David. He's unlikely to be the king. He's unlikely to be the hero. Time and time again, the Bible points to God. And David says, he doesn't even respond to his brother. What are you talking about? He just ignores him because he knows who he is. Even though no one else looks at David, he knows he is a child of God, the anointed of God at this point already. Let's go to number three, my final point. David knows who the enemy is. Samuel 17:45 says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" This is my favorite part of the story. This is the strength of David. The strength of David, hear me, my brothers and sisters, the strength of David is not on him. It's not about him. This is not about David. This is not about his faith, his courage, his wisdom. This is not about him. This is why he could overcome Goliath. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." It is God, the one who is doing the thing. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Goliath, this is not a battle against you and me. This is not a battle between you and me. This is not a battle, Goliath against David. This is a battle of Goliath, who represents evil, who represents sin of this world, against God. He is the one. He is the hero. When we look at this story of David, many times we feel related to David. We are David in the story. Yes, I'm David. I'm going to defeat my giants. I'm going to overcome sickness and to overcome depression and to overcome this and that. And don't get me wrong, I think that's good application. I will preach again about that, and you will hear about that again. However, not tonight. Not tonight. Tonight, it's not you, the one facing the giant. It's not you, the one throwing the stone, the rock. It's not me. We are not David. If anything, we are the people of Israel, trembling in fear. If anything, we are Saul, who was too coward to face his giant. And I think many times we are. Yeah, sometimes we're David, and sometimes we're brave and faithful. But other times we are the people hiding in fear. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're Saul. Sometimes we don't want to face our giants. And sometimes we hide. But thank God, we have a hero. Thank God, we have a Savior. Thank God, we have a King. Not David. Jesus Christ. He is the one who defeated evil and sin with his death on the cross. He overcome death. He conquered all evil. And it's only because of him that we can have eternal life and victory in everything we do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of David, that tonight we'll learn that it's not about David, it's about you. It's about your salvation. It's about you, our King. It's about Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Thank you so much, dear God, for this story, and thank you so much for your word. Let us always read your word to find you, to find your salvation, to find your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray blessings upon this wonderful church. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, dear church. God bless you.